This summer, let's get grounded. Feel the ancient earth beneath our feet. Smell the rich soil after the rain. Sift the sand through our fingers. Connect ourselves to each other, to all of creation, and to the spirit of the living God who meets us in the dirt. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website, where you can sign up for the link and get all sorts of important information about life in the congregation and the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community, even the big kids, in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have the playground on the stage. We have lovingly staffed nursery care. Good morning in the nursery. And we have summer godly play after the word for all ages. Today is the last day for summer godly play. Starting next week, it's intergenerational worship. A couple of announcements. First, about Family Promise. Family Promise is a local family shelter program that we support. They are looking for a few people who can do overnights, just a few nights this summer. It's just a friendly presence. You have your own apartment with a kitchen, bath, and bed. Good opportunity to get away from your spouse if they snore. If you have any interest, see me for more details and I can get you lots of information. We have a new wind phone in Natick. Is this familiar to anybody? So a wind phone is not connected to anything except by spirit. People use it to talk to those they can't reach, usually because the person has died, but sometimes there are other reasons as well. The wind phone has been established across the common in front of Common Street, and we're welcoming it to the community at noon today. So if you want to join me over there at noon, we will welcome that new wind phone. And if you haven't seen it, if that's a new experience to you, hopefully there'll be some publicity around town. These are wonderful, wonderful tools for us. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit, deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him, but they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light. The light that once was in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times." Let us welcome the light.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Bill. Please join me in the call for worship. Your response is, "Come as you are." Come, brothers and sisters and siblings, come as you are. Bring your blessings and your burdens. Come as you are. God is here, all around us. Come as you are. Come, let's worship together. Come as you are. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is number 30. Praise Our God, verses 1 and 2. It's on the handout and the screen. You're invited to rise in body or spirit.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Our centering prayer begins with a little bit of silence. May the quiet be an invitation to slow down, to breathe deeply, be present and here and now. Let us pray. God of the Rocky Mountain, the city park, the community garden, you take mere dust and turn it into beauty, community, life. May we dig deep roots into your love and know that we too are dirt, precious, holy dirt, fertile soil for the beloved community Jesus showed us when he taught us to pray, saying, Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Dirt, earth, land, fences, borders, war. Too often, people have fought over the very soil beneath our feet, determined to mark it as their own. God calls us another way, to peace, peace within the earth, peace of the earth, peace on the earth. This morning, may we share peace with those gathered here and earthlings everywhere. Then we'll sing our song of celebration. God's peace be with you and also with you.
So our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to John, except it probably doesn't. In our Bibles, this story appears in the 8th chapter of John, and only in John. But scholars pretty much agree it does not belong there. They think the story was actually from the Gospel according to Luke, but got cut and pasted into John for random reasons that have launched 1,000 research papers, but I will not bore you with this morning. Just so we remember that what looks like a pretty solid book to us has actually been subject to edits and adjustments since the very beginning. But we'll still identify it as you find it in your Bible, John chapter 8, verses 2 through 11. There are hard things in this story. It talks about adultery, which was punishable by death in the ancient world. So take care of yourself if either of these topics hit close to home. And yet this passage isn't about adultery or the death penalty. There's been a lot of conflict between Jesus and the religious leaders, The leaders are trying to find a way to neutralize his power, which threatens their own. Bill and I will read it together.
Early in the morning, Jesus came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and began to teach them.
Yeah, rabbis used to sit to teach.
The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and making her stand before them, they said to him,
Wait a minute. Wait, Bill. Just the woman?
That's what it says.
Interesting. You may continue.
The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery, and making her stand before all of them, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now, in the law of Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? They said this to test him, so that they might have some charge to bring against him.
Okay, 3.5 verses, so many red flags. First, generally speaking, people cannot commit adultery by themselves. The religious rules that the Hebrew people embraced, the law of Moses, said it was wrong to have sex with someone who was married to someone else. But it was wrong for both the man and the woman. The ancient law assumed heterosexual couples. In fact, since women were often in the same category as property, the man would be in more trouble. But there's no man here. And people could only be charged with adultery if there were at least 2 witnesses or the entire audience of a Coldplay concert. But there are no witnesses here either. So let's be honest. The religious leaders aren't coming to Jesus with an honest question on which they'd like his take. This is a gotcha question, loaded so that no matter how Jesus answers, he's in trouble. If Jesus says, sure, stoner, that flies in the face of his teachings about compassion and acceptance. Plus, since executions are supposed to be under the Roman authority, Jesus could get in trouble with the political leaders. But if Jesus says, okay, it's all right, no biggie, that is a dismissal of Mosaic law, and that would label him as a heretic and give the religious leaders more of an excuse to condemn him. Either way, Jesus can't win. How's he gonna get out of this one?
Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground.
Nobody saw that coming.
When the religious leaders kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her.
So there's true Jesus fashion. He turns a question inside out. Should this woman be stoned becomes an invitation to look at our own broken places. That meant Jesus could then start yelling out the mistakes he's seen the religious leaders make, but he won't.
And once again, Jesus bent down and wrote on the ground.
Again? What is he writing down there?
When they heard these words, they went away, one by one, beginning with the elders. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him.
The religious leaders drop the stones they were so eager to hurl and slip away. Seems like nobody feels qualified to stone this woman.
Jesus straightened up and said to her, Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?
Finally, someone is talking to the woman.
She said, No one, sir.
She even gets to speak.
And Jesus said, Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again.
Seems that Jesus didn't want to pick up the stones either.
These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and wisdom to live them.
Amen. Thank you, Bill. Children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. And this one has visuals, so it might help if you look over here, but you do you. So let's look at what Jesus did with his body in this passage. Kirsten is going to help me. Kirsten, thank you for being a helper. I'm going to do the crazy thing. I'm going to take the mic out of here. Okay. So first, first, Jesus came into the temple. And you've already done a good job of going to the chair, but do you mind just like coming into the temple? Okay, so Jesus came into the temple. Yes, Kirsten is Jesus in this scenario. Then Jesus sat down to teach. Kirsten's gonna sit down to teach. The leaders came and brought the woman, and they're all standing there. Jesus hears their question and bends down. Can you just bend down? Yep. And then, yep, you're doing it perfectly. And then Jesus writes in the sand. Can you just like take your finger and pretend there's sand on the floor? And okay, good job, perfect. They keep bugging him, so Jesus sits back up. Look how perfectly she did that. And then Jesus asks them a question. And then Jesus bends back down and writes some more. When most of the religious leaders are gone, Jesus sits back up again and speaks to the woman. Now, I wonder why Jesus would do all that. There is no right answer, but any thoughts about why Jesus would do all that? Wayne, what did you say? Ha! You think you can sit in the back of the room and not get caught? Mm-mm, I know that look on your face. Jesus didn't have a smartphone? Okay, so if Jesus had a smartphone, he would have been like, is that it? That's actually pretty good. I might use that in the future. Okay, any other thoughts about why Jesus might have done that, Rick? Giving himself time to think. Jesus was like, let us slow this down. My very smart friend Greg is preaching on this same passage today. You know Greg. He preached at my installation and blew us all away. I cannot wait to listen to his sermon today. And he's the one that said to me this week that Jesus might be doing all this stuff with his body to slow everything down. The religious leaders are rushing around. They're pushing through the crowd. They're dragging the woman forward. They're demanding Jesus' attention. They're shouting questions at him. Hurry, urgent, answer. And Jesus breathes and bends and reaches and touches. He doesn't get all caught up in their panic. Or maybe he started to. Maybe Jesus' heart was racing and his mind was spinning, trying to come up with the right answer. Maybe the voice in his head was saying, hurry up, do it right. You're in trouble if you don't get it right. Maybe Jesus was getting ready to blurt out some answer or yell at the religious leaders for trying to trick him. And then instead, Jesus breathes and bends and reaches and touches. And maybe that helped Jesus get calmer in his body, so he could feel God's presence with him. So this week, if things in the world are making us feel stressed and pressured, maybe we could do what Jesus did. Can you do it with us? Breathe and bend and reach and touch. And then we'll feel God's presence with us too. Those of you heading off to godly play, have fun with this last one. Amen. Our second reading this morning is called Penitence Prayer, and it's by Elizabeth Tarbox. It's an hour before sunrise. The waves keep coming, but each minute they make less progress than the minute before. As the tide goes out, the beach is exposed. A million pebbles just visible in the lifting of night. A periwinkle clinging to a rock. A horseshoe crab scrambling to catch the receding ocean. And I am exposed in all my hurts and frailties. My composure drifts away with the tide, and the disheveled beach mirrors the ragged edges of my soul. The whole bay is my confessional, the breath of dawn, my confessor. I pray that some benevolent spirit has listened to my heart's despair and judged me not. At the edge of the clouds, a rim of cream appears. Night creeps away with my guilt beneath its cloak. Dawn sprinkles absolution. The earth has kept its promise. Forgiveness is at hand. Amen. So I just want to warn you folks in the room, we turned the AC back on because I was about to fall down dead. But I don't want people to be cold. If we close the doors, David, the AC will stop trying to shoot to the kitchen. And hopefully we can take the humidity down just a little bit so I don't die, but you don't freeze. If you feel the need to get up and do jumping jacks to match our heart rates, I will understand. Thank you for your patience with that. All right, so every commentary on this passage wonders what Jesus was writing on the floor of the temple. My question? Why was the floor of the temple so dirty that Jesus could write on it? Maybe he was writing, "Wash me." But sure, they lived in a desert land and they didn't have vacuum cleaners, so Jesus was probably used to lots of sand on the floor and was probably not writing cleaning instructions for the team. One commentator wonders if Jesus was writing Mary, his mother's name, remembering she was once a candidate for public stoning, like the woman in front of him. Or maybe he wrote Joseph, remembering the father who refused to condemn Mary to that fate even before an angel intervened. My judgy side wonders if Jesus was writing all the sins of the religious leaders gathered round, this one using his position to get his way in court, that one skimming extra from the offerings. So when Jesus stood up and said, "Whoever hasn't sinned can cast the first stone," the words on the floor made it pretty clear there were no candidates. But I think Jesus isn't as petty as I am. So while nobody knows what Jesus might have written in the sand, I have three ideas. Maybe Jesus did write the sins of the religious leaders in the dirt. Maybe the sins of the crowd, too. Maybe the floor was a whole word cloud of brokenness, a map of how humans have hurt themselves and each other. But what if he didn't write it as a list of condemnation, but as a holy work of art? Are you familiar with sand mandalas? We have an image on the next slide from a project at UMass Amherst. Traditionally made by Tibetan Buddhists, the mandalas are intricate patterns of sacred symbols created in a meditative manner out of brightly colored sand. They take hours or days to make. And then, when the monks and nuns are done, they destroy the mandalas, ritually undoing all that they have done. They bring the sand to a river and release the sand into the water, dispersing the healing energies of the mandala into the water and the world. So maybe Jesus was making his own mandala, taking that list of the sins of those present in the temple and turning it into a complicated work of art, bringing what was so often hidden out to the open where it could be understood and faced, not to shame or blame or condemn, but to share and hold and help? Maybe then, when Jesus bent down that second time, he was destroying the mandala, scooping up the sand and putting it in his pocket so he could bring it down to the Jordan River and let it all be washed away. Or maybe Jesus wasn't doing anything as complicated as all that. Maybe he wasn't drawing a big, intricate mandala. Maybe it was just a line in the sand, his line in the sand, the line that says no more. No more judging in God's name, no more scapegoats for people's pain, no more women, children, vulnerable people sacrificed on the altar of political and religious power, no more. A line in the sand like that would blow away at the slightest breeze. But Jesus's commitment to God's message of compassion would draw another line, a path straight to the cross. Or maybe Jesus wasn't writing or drawing anything at all. Maybe he was just rubbing the sand through his fingers, feeling the grains against his skin, tiny grains of sand, too many to count. Sand that once, long ago, had been stone. Like the very stones the crowd was ready to hurl at the woman. Over the ages, thanks to wind and water and time, those weapons of community destruction had broken down, broken apart, broken open, until they were just grains of sand on the temple floor. Maybe that's how Jesus saw himself, as a force that would speed up the process until all the stones we want to throw at each other, all the stones we even hurl at our own selves, all the stones are nothing more than dirt beneath our feet. For you folks at home, I don't know the condition of the floor in front of you. In the vestry, it's pretty clean, no layer of sand. But if there was, what would we do with it? Would we write in it like a scoreboard, keeping track of who is in and who is out, who is worthy and who is beyond hope? Would we keep a list of everything they have done wrong, or all the tender parts of ourselves that we've been busy judging throughout our lives? What if instead we wrote the burdens we carry, including our judgments against ourselves and others, and then just swept it all away, letting go of all that doesn't serve us or the beloved community of God? Or would we draw a line in the sand on the floor? A line maybe to mark us versus them, with legal and welcome and normal on one side and alien and wrong and different on the other? Or would we take the line and turn it into a circle, creating sacred space where all are welcome, breaking that circle open again and again, drawing it wider, wider still, until there is room enough for all? Or would we sift the sand between our fingers, remembering the stories it tells, the stones we've thrown at each other, the stones we've built into prison walls, the stones that have left each of us so painfully bruised? Could we see the sand as a promise we would make that we will join the one who played with the sand on the temple floor, that we would join him in breaking down this world's stones of pain and violence and cruelty, turning them into nothing more than sand beneath our feet? Amen.
Thank you.
As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share your prayers aloud, and all are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org. And we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list. There are copies in the link as well as by the door. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Declan. Okay, but can I find out what he had to eat? Declan, what did you have to eat after?
After I had 2 half of muffins and some other stuff, but I can't remember.
Oh, well, I can tell you what I had to eat every day this week. So, we have reached another mark in Declan's treatment. His port has been removed. That means he doesn't need to be getting medicine on the regular there. Hooray, Declan. And we love Declan's honesty about how scary it was, and probably he was a little hangry before it came out, and we celebrate muffins that were enjoyed after the surgery. Congratulations, Declan, Beth, and Kenny.
They also were very yummy.
And the muffins were yummy. June, do you have any joys over there? I have some. We have several people who are recovering from surgery, and so our joy is that they're through that surgery, and of course our prayer is for pain management. Faye D is recovering from back surgery. This has been a long time coming. She is now able to walk. Her pain is pretty much, that back pain is pretty much gone. That's amazing. Lisa F had knee replacement this week, and that went well, so we're celebrating both of them. What concerns do you bring to this place today? June, do you have any concerns over there?
Yes.
I have a whole bunch.
Randy and Dee Dee mourn the loss of their cat, Elton, a beloved family member for 17 years.
Boy, Randy and Dee Dee have been working so hard to give Elton a healthy, good life. We celebrate all he brought to their household, and we mourn his death. Do you have any other concerns over there? Okay. We're holding in our prayers Kim's friend Tabitha. She's been in a psychiatric unit for 2 weeks. The hope is that she is either now or will soon be out in a day program, so prayers for Tabitha. Got a message from Sarilyn. Her brother Dale had a heart attack on Friday. The artery was 90% blocked. They were able to clear it. He is very lucky. Sarilyn is still on sabbatical. She's getting updates from her family. We hold her in prayer. Also holding in prayer, Gary and Shannon W. Gary's mom went on hospice this past week, and now they have found out that she has about a week to live. So we're holding Gary and Shannon in our prayers. We've held in prayer before Karen M's friend Allison, who was living with ALS. Allison died this past week. The obituary was a beautiful story of a life fully well-lived, but we mourn Allison and we hold Karen and all of Allison's family and friends in our prayers. And as we continue to see images of children starving in Gaza, we hold the Palestinian people in Gaza, as well as all who are working, including many of our Jewish siblings, to bring food and peace to Gaza. There is a standout today. It's underway from 10 to 11, right in front of the church in support of Palestine, and every Saturday from 1 to 2. Anything I missed? Our prayer this morning is by Katie Kandarian Morris. In addition to the joys and concerns we've shared this morning, you might bring into this prayer any burden from which you'd like to be released and any people you'd like to forgive. Let us pray. Spirit of life. Spirit of love. Spirit of generosity. As we draw near to that quiet, essential side of ourselves, may we open enough to consider the sacred choices we make each minute, each hour, each day that add up to a lifetime. Let us become aware that here is the place to be forgiven and to forgive ourselves for any past thoughts and actions. Here is a place to begin again with love. As we are forgiven, let us open our hearts to forgive others, to pray for them well-being and joy, that they may be lifted from worry and burden into peace and abundance. May we all be blessed with the grace of the Spirit and moment upon moment of serenity and peace. Amen. Poet Rumi writes, "I was you and I never knew it." Every day we are blinded by the myth that we are separate. In truth, we are one. In our pain and our joy and our struggles and our triumphs, we are all connected. What happens here and in Gaza and in Thailand, Cambodia, it is all bound together. Today, as we practice the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, may we do so with awareness that we are not placing money in a basket or credit card digits in an app. We are touching the world. God of abundance, bless these gifts and especially the hands that have given them, that they might know the ways in which they are your hands in the world. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 461, We Cannot Own the Sunlit Sky. Thing. Do people have the hymn in front of them? Okay, excellent. Good. Look out with the neighbor if you need to. Let's do verse 2. In the room, I can smell that the coffee's ready. So Lane is tantalizing us toward coffee hour. Folks at home, hopefully you are also able to have a little snack and some time of connection with people in your life today. Beloved, deep peace of the quiet earth to you, deep peace of the garden soil to you, deep peace of the sparkling sand to you, deep peace of the muddy path to you, deep peace of the God of dirt to you. Go in peace. Amen.